John chapter 16. And just let this soak in for a minute. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. There's about to be a great trade. He's about now to leave. He's going to go up and be with the Father. And he's now going to trade. He's going to say, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he's trying to explain this to his disciples who they don't know really the Holy Spirit. They know about the Spirit of God from the Old Testament. But it's kind of been a foreign thing. You know, they knew the stories of Samson, the Spirit of God would come over him and he would just do something awesome or something like that. And so now Jesus is saying, that same Spirit now, he's about to come and be with you all the time, every day, everywhere you go, for those who follow the Lord, for those who cling to the Lord. And this is what he's like. Okay. I'll be in John chapter 16, starting in verse 7. He says, I know you're sad. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I do go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged, that is Satan. Verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, meaning whatever he hears from the Father, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask a couple things today and take a shot at answering them. One, what is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? You know, what is he like? What's the deal that now we have him? Like Jesus went up and Jesus sent him and now we have him. What does that mean for us in our everyday lives? You know, often sometimes we hear a great story about, you know, someone was struggling or someone was like in this special place in life and the Holy Spirit did something special, right? And it's like God moved in a special way and that was the Holy Spirit. But more than that, Jesus is saying he's going to be with us all the time. And, you know, Jesus did some amazing things. He said some amazing things. He said things that other religious leaders have never said and would never dare to say. He said things like, I am the only way to God, and I am God. And, he said, kill me, and I'll raise myself up in 3 days. He said stuff that other famous religious leaders and all throughout history would have never dared to say. And now we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is now sort of testifying and showing that all the things that Jesus said were true. And he then has this ongoing relationship. If we choose, we can have this ongoing relationship and this thing begins to happen. And this is what the Lord wanted. He wanted to have this relationship, and the way he's doing it now at this time is through the Holy Spirit. So what is that like? Who is the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit? First of all, the Holy Spirit is God. We're going to talk about what is he like and what is he not like. He is God. He's totally God, 100%. He is no less God than the Father is God. He is no less God than Jesus is God. And the word Trinity is nowhere in the Bible, okay? A lot of words are not in the Bible, but God has given us his good and solid teaching, and we know the Spirit, just like God, has always existed. He was never created. God the Father was never created. Jesus was never created. The Holy Spirit was never created. The Holy Spirit is infinite. He's always been and he always will be. God the Father is eternal. Jesus is eternal. The Holy Spirit is eternal. He has God's power. God the Father is almighty. Jesus Christ is almighty. And the Holy Spirit is almighty. He can do what he chooses. And he's almighty. He's infinite. He's not created. He's always existed. He is Lord. God the Father is the Lord, Jesus is our Lord, and the Holy Spirit is our Lord. He's the Lord present with us today. And honestly, I would say he's probably the most uncomfortable person in the Trinity to talk about, you know? And his name has been marred a little bit by different religious movements. He's been greatly ignored, and we're going to get to that. But you know, it's a little bit hard sometimes to grasp, like, Holy Spirit, what do you, you know, how should I know you? What is right for me to address you? Am I allowed to call you Lord, or is that like a smudge against Jesus? You know, and now we sort of have God, Holy Spirit, right here with us, and it's like, you know, I want to do right, but in order for me to do right by you, Lord God, I kind of need to know who you are, and I just want to do right by you, Lord. And so help me know who you are, Holy Spirit. These truths have been declared by the early church and have been reasserted throughout history, that the Holy Spirit is equal with God, and people have had their tongues pulled out for this. They have had their ears burned off for this truth. They've had arms and legs torn off. They have stood on the truth of the Bible, that the Holy Spirit is like Jesus walking with us now, except that it is now the Spirit of God walking with us. And because of these people's sacrifices, of the near martyrs or almost martyrs of throughout history, we can stand on the truth and say it's been tested and it's been proven. Now we know that God took care, and God has proven himself throughout the truth that has been proclaimed, and so many people that have sacrificed for that. You know, if I were to say, if I were to take a new believer up here, and if we were to get a baptismal dunking station right here, right, and I were to say, all right, Sally, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Apostle John, someone would have a problem, right? That was just not right. That is not how it works. If I were to say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and Paul or the Pope or Billy Graham, it would not be right, right? But we say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, because Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, they are equal in lordship and in their Godhead. The Spirit, one last thing, though. One thing about what the Spirit is like is we know that when Jesus came, he took on a body, right? And people shook his hand and hugged him, and they feared him, and they punched him, and they pulled his beard out, and they could touch him. And he had this body. And he has a glorified body today, and we'll see him again someday. And I think it's going to be, you know, we're going to be like in heaven, or we're going to be in heaven on earth, and we're going to be like, you know, taking care of some fruit trees or something. And Jesus is going to walk by, and you're going to see like the hole in his hand. It's just going to be like, I want to shake the hand. Right? Jesus, can I? I want to do the Thomas thing. Can I still touch you? Right? But the one thing is different is that the Spirit, as far as we know, especially right now, there's no body. And that means he can now be omnipresent, like the Father can be omnipresent. He's just everywhere. Right? He can be in your car right now. He can be in your house right now. He can be with the family members who you love and you've been praying for them. He can be with them right now. And if you are in America praying for the church or for your friend over in China or over in Africa, I have some friends in Africa building a church right now. If I pray for them, the Holy Spirit is right here listening to me, and the Holy Spirit is over there right now working with them and helping them and ministering to them and guiding them. That is our Holy Spirit. Last thing, what the Holy Spirit is, and this will prevent so many errors. The Holy Spirit has the exact same character as the Lord Jesus. It's like Spirit, God, help me know you. What do you like? You want to know what the Holy Spirit is like? You can read about what Jesus is like. Because he and the Son and the Father are the same. They have the same character, you know? And so if Jesus loves people and hates sin, the Holy Spirit loves people and hates sin. What does the Holy Spirit think about babies? What did Jesus think about babies? You know, he took the kids in his arms and he loved them and he blessed them. And I think the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what he thinks. He would take people in his arms, he loves them. What does the Holy Spirit think about the poor people and the people that have been picked on by bullies? And what does the Holy Spirit think about people that have been nasty people? He thinks the exact same thing about them that Jesus thinks about them. You know, would he if we were to throw a prostitute on the ground in front of the Holy Spirit and say, you should condemn her, what would he do? He'd probably do whatever Jesus did. He'd say, I'm not condemning you right now. It's not the time for that. But go and sin no more. So he kind of just like minister to her spirit and put her on the right path. He would probably treat her just the exact same way that Jesus would treat her. Right? And to your lost friends and to the greatest believer that you know, the Holy Spirit would treat them exactly the same way that Jesus would treat them. What the Holy Spirit is not like, what is he not like? We just need to be a little bit careful here, okay? And I can say the right thing, but it could come off the wrong way, okay? The Holy Spirit is not enthusiasm. The Holy Spirit might give you some direction. He might empower you to do something special, but every time you're in church and you feel something awesome, there may or may not be Holy Spirit saying, you know, do a backflip. Maybe. And I've been in those churches and I love that, by the way. So if you want to do a backflip, it's allowed in this church. You can do that. Okay. But any kind of time, if you're like reading the Bible, if you're like, if you're praying and you just want to go nuts or something like that, that is not always necessarily the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul kind of cautioned the church a little bit. He said, you're getting a little bit out of hand in the Corinthians. He said, you guys, you're blessed with many gifts. You know about tongues. You know about prophecy. You're doing great. He said, but your spirit, yourself, your body, it's still under your control. And if the Holy Spirit is now giving you, blessing you with some gifts of tongues or anything else, it should be done in order. And if someone else walks in the church and it looks like a circus in there, that's just not honoring to the Lord. That's not what he wants. He wants people to come in, and Jesus and Paul said, I would rather have 1,000 words that people can understand than, you know, one word in tongues that people don't understand if people are listening. But he also said, I haven't got to the verse yet, sorry, but it says, but do not have like a disdain, do not have like a dislike for things like prophecy and tongues. Don't hate those things. Those are still good things. It's just remember, Holy Spirit's working on you. We're still supposed to keep control over ourselves and sort of do the right thing. And I know plenty of people, so a lot of people don't have tongues or prophecy or anything like that, but I know a few people that have tongues. You know what? When they want to pray in tongues in the church, in fact, I've been close enough that I've even noticed, they just do it under their breath. They don't want to freak out the person next door because they just don't know about that stuff, and that's okay. And so they're honoring to the Lord, and they want to pray in a gift that the Spirit gave them, and that's okay, and they sort of do it under their breath. They're doing it in order, right? And so they are working with the Holy Spirit and doing things the way that God has them to do. What is the Spirit not like? He is not merely a personification of goodness or of God. So if we say, you know, that's just like the Spirit of Christmas. I just love the Spirit of Christmas. That's, we're saying Spirit in a way. It's like all the characteristics, all the things that have to do with Christmas, like joy and giving gifts and stuff. And when you're doing all those things and when you're celebrating, when you're decorating, that's sort of, we personified Christmas. We say if it were like a person, that's what it would be like. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is truly a person, and he has a will. And you might be with your family today at lunch, and somebody says something, and you might want to say something back, and maybe the Holy Spirit's like, just hold off for now. He has a will for you. He might be guiding you. He might be like, or someone says something, and the Holy Spirit might be like, you know what? I am now telling you to say something. I'm guiding you a little bit. I have a will for you, and maybe you need to encourage someone. Okay, so he's a person. He has a will. He gives gifts. He has wisdom, right? And he hears things from Jesus and the Father. He hears things from the realm of heaven, and he is now testifying. That's what we just read, and he is now testifying and proving it to be true in our lives today. That is the Holy Spirit. And finally, he's not a force. You know, Star Wars is awesome. And I just love that stuff, right? I don't know why. It's just like sci-fi and tech and all that stuff. You know, and the idea of, I can't see it, but there's power there. That is just not the same thing. It's just not the same. He is a person like Jesus, and if Jesus wanted to walk on water, he could do it. If Jesus wanted to heal someone, he could do it, and the Holy Spirit's no different. He's a person, and he could have you walk on water like Peter. He could heal you right now if he wanted, but he's a person, and he hears every word we say, and he cares about everyone that you care about, and he cares about all my enemies that I'm not sure about, right? And he just loves them. He's a person. So I sort of want to just lay the groundwork. We want to get to these two things here, these two things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19 says this. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. He goes on, do not despise the prophecies. That's kind of what we just talked about. You know, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Do not quench the Spirit. Hold on to that idea for a second. Ephesians chapter 4 says this. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not quench and do not grieve. You know, when I think of quench, I think of fire. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I lived in church too long and people talk about Holy Spirit. They talk about fire and quenching and all that stuff. But I just think about that. And so when I was in school learning the theology and stuff, it's just like so much reading. It's like if you have a second to spare, you got to be reading, or it's just like you're not going to keep up. So it's always reading all the time. So often what would happen would be we'd get some kids put to bed, and if it were spring or fall, I would love to go outside and like get a fire started and just read outside. And I even had like this little like light that I clipped on my shirt because I got, you know, all it's just like I've done enough that I had a whole setup. And some reading was just like pulling teeth, like you just had to like plow through it, right? And it's just like every chance I got, I played with the fire, honestly, right? It's just natural, right? Some readings, I start reading this book, and it would just like open up something that I've been reading in the Bible for years, and I'm just like, oh, well, I never got that before. And it would just open, and I would just read deeper and deeper. I'd be reading and reading and reading. And like maybe 40 minutes would go by and I would look up and my fire is just like, you know, just like suffocating, almost dead, it's almost gone. Even my toes are cold up there by the fire. And I had not been feeding that fire. And so quench, you could think of two ideas. One quench would be like if I were to pour water on a fire. That's kind of one thing. That's not exactly what it means right here, though. That is a possible meaning, and that does happen. And that is definitely what it means when he talks about do not grieve the Holy Spirit. But here when he says do not quench, it's like when I kind of starve that fire, when I stop adding the fuel, when I have been ignoring it because I'm just doing something else. And I could be feeding it, and it could be growing to this roaring, just a source of heat and light, and it could just like be changing the environment all around it. That's what it could be if I were feeding it and giving it all my attention. And sometimes I did that, right, with the fire. Sometimes we could do that with the Holy Spirit. But in this particular verse, it was saying, it's more like instead of pouring water, it's more like when you just kind of neglect, right? And the Holy Spirit, he's here as a person, and he might be speaking to you. It's kind of like, I'm not sure if I'm comfortable with that, Lord. Or I could be spending time with you today in prayer and in the Word or talking about you and the things you've done with my fellow believers. I could be just like stirring that up, you know, but I got stuff I need to do today, right? And we could go on and on and on doing all these wonderful things and never putting another log on that fire. And eventually the fire just starts to starve and it goes lower and lower. Now the Holy Spirit lives on no matter what. But our connection and how well we can hear, you know, Jesus says, my people are going to know my voice. My sheep know me. Right? And then John says, you know, the ones that will be saved, it won't be the ones that know about me. It's going to be the ones that know me. It's that connection, that relationship. You know, if you just keep ignoring, if you just keep ignoring your wife or your husband, they're still there, but that connection, that relationship is starving, and you're quenching it. And in the same way, if we just give him no attention, it's just like, I'm going to live my own way, but I'm still going to call you Lord. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to do some things because I love you, a lot of times I'm going to do things my own way. We are quenching the Holy Spirit. We're quenching. That's what it means. You know, sometimes I think God gives us hard times, and I'm like, Lord, why haven't you answered my prayer? Okay, and so then I pray again. And I'm like, why haven't you answered that one? And then I pray again. What? And God's kind of like, well, it's now you're praying to me. And it's almost like those hard times are prayer fuel. And you're spending more time with me now than you ever have. You're probably closer to the Holy Spirit today than you were last week. You know, and you're like sensing, you're like trying, you're like searching in your heart and praying all the time. You're like, Lord, I need a word from you, or I need something for you, or guide me. So how do I handle this tough situation? It's like now I'm attuning my ears more than I have in a long time. I think God sometimes has just given us prayer or relationship fuel so that he's like, we've been quenching too long. We've been quenching way, way too long. And if I were to say, you know, I have a surprise for you guys, and that door would have darkened back there, I said, we snuck him in. I didn't tell you what was going to happen, but I have a guest coming. And if the president were to walk in, I would say, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States, Donald Trump, would you please give him a warm welcome? And then as he started to walk up there, I guarantee, no matter what you think about him, every head would turn, every eye would focus, every ear would turn and tune in and strain to hear everything that he said. We'd give him our full attention, every ounce of our attention. Like, well, how often do we get this, right? But the truth is, honestly, today there's someone here that's way more famous and way more important for us and our souls. That's the Lord. He's here. And when you go home today, there's someone way more important than any president, right? It's the Lord. And when you are at work and at school and when you're in the car and when you're in front of the TV and when you're, you know, talking to your best friend or you're mowing the lawn, there's someone way more important, and you could give them all your attention. Yeah. And you ever known someone like that where they, like, it's just like they breathe God. It's just like every step, they're focused in, and it's like, if I have a prayer request, like, I call that lady. I call that guy. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't quench us. They're like, their fire is so hot, right? And they just have that connection with the Lord. So there's quenching, and then there's grieving. Quenching and grieving. And that's just a real thing. That's the idea that he's a person, and the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Did you know you can grieve God? Because he cares about you. Because he cares about you so much. And if you were to have if you had like a son who was a teenager, right, and you loved him, and he gets to the point, you know, teenagers, they have this, it's this natural time in their lives where I think God just put it in our chemicals or something, where it's just like we need to like separate from the parents a little bit, and it's a hard time, it's frustrating for the kids and the parents, and they try to do their own thing, right? It's just almost like God's getting them ready to do the next thing or something, and it's a struggle, right? And if that 17-year-old son of yours or friend of yours was just like not doing too well with this struggle, and he goes off, I'm going to do my own thing, right? And he gets mixed up with the wrong friends, and you get the call, you know, ma'am, sir, this is the sheriff, your son's here with me, I need you to come and pick him up, or we need to talk about it. And you go there, and you see your son sitting there, or your daughter, and you see the other boys sitting there. You know, you would probably care about the other boys. You need to be like, oh, you know, they're on the wrong track. You'd probably be concerned. But you'd be grieved about your son. Right? It's different. You know, because you care. And he cares about us. He can be grieved. You know, I did a short memorial service this past week, and I haven't done very many. And so I'm kind of learning, you know, a little bit. And so the family comes to me, and they're so sad. It's like, what do you say? Right? And it's just like, you know, their heart's torn. And I kind of feel like I should be torn a little bit more, but I just didn't know the lady that well. Right? And so for me, it's like, it's my job to care some, but I'm not grieved. Right? Not like when my grandpa died or when my hero died, and I was ripped in half. I was grieved because I loved him. And the Holy Spirit loves you so much that you can grieve him. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, that just tells us, that tells us just plainly that he loves you. The Holy Spirit is on your side. in every time he speaks, every time he leads, every time he guides, every time he testifies what Jesus intends to do in your life, it's because he loves you and he has a fantastic intentions if we choose to listen. Or we could choose to grieve. We could choose to neglect. Think about Genesis, right? And it's like, there's always that one thing that God said in Genesis, I'm like, you know, especially when I was younger, I just didn't quite get it. Right? God would meet with Adam in the garden every day. It's all, I don't know if they had like an appointment, or it's like, I'll meet you for lunch. I don't know how it worked, right? But they had this relationship. I'm going to meet you every day. And like Adam just like knew God, right? And you like gave him a wife and everything. And it was just like, just awesome. And then they sinned, right? And they realized they were naked and all this stuff, and they were ashamed of their sin. I mean, you disappointed God. I can't just imagine, like, disappointed God, but disappointed God and you're about to see him here in 5 minutes. That kind of disappointment. Like, they were just covered in shame. They're just ashamed. And so they're hiding. They don't know what to do, what to say. How am I gonna talk to the Lord about this? He created me. I mean, he just breathed into dust and bam, I existed, right? And I stabbed him in the back. And so there's this verse where God is walking in the garden and he says, Adam, where are you? And growing up, every time I'm reading it, I'm like, he's God. He knows where Adam is. He's God. But I don't think he was like wondering. I think he was just grieving. He was saying to Adam, this is our time. You know? What happened? He's just hurting. And Adam and Eve, you know, kind of stabbed him in the back. He was grieved because he loved Adam and he loved Eve. Where are you, Adam? You know, he has feelings, he has emotions, he can feel rejection. Probably the two easiest ways to grieve the Holy Spirit is the pride, our own prideful spirit and our own selfish spirit. Me first, and I'm more important than you. Me first. That's what you want, but this is what I want. You know? And that's how quickly we just grieve the Holy Spirit. Thought about that illustration of if the president were to walk up here. I thought, you know, what if the Holy Spirit walked up here? Now we're like, I'm going to get out of the way. Like, give him a microphone, and he, you know, somehow he's holding the microphone. He spoke the microphone. He said, so glad to be here. I love you guys. And if he'd probably say something like, you know, I was at your house this week, and I was in your car this week. And I was at school, I was at work with you this week. And I want to give a report of your lives so far. You know, would he be grieved? What would he report? You know, would you be like Adam in the garden? Or would your fire be so hot, be like, oh, I remember all those wonderful times where it was you and me together, Holy Spirit. You know, it's just probably some of both, right? So it's like, I guess the question today is, as we get ready to leave here, as we're wrapping it up, as you go back to your home, you go back in your car, you go back to work and school, are you going to be putting logs on the fire? Are you going to be building that relationship? You know, just like with your wife or with your husband, is it going to grow this week? Or is it going to be kind of neglected? Maybe I'm going to grieve, maybe I'm just going to say no sometimes. What would he report next week? It's like, give me a week, Lord. Give me a week. And I think the best thing is, you know, he doesn't really test us a lot. You know, there's some tests in the Bible, but generally, when we read about what Jesus was saying about the Holy Spirit, it's like, he's going to lead you in all the best stuff and all your best testimonies. Everything that you wish you could tell another believer, like, oh, here's what's going to happen this week. It's like, he's leading you right into that. And it's probably going to be some sacrifices, right? I'm just listening to you, Lord, now. You want me to go and help this person? Okay, I'll do it. Okay, I helped the guy mow the yard. Wasn't a really big deal. Okay, I'm going to help this person. Wasn't really a big deal. I'm loving people. Okay, I'm having some time in the Word. I'm having some time in prayer. Doesn't seem like a big deal. But next Sunday, Holy Spirit gets up here and takes the microphone. He's like, yeah. And John and Sally, man, we had a great week. And they know me now more than they've known me in a long time. And we were like this. And I noticed near the end of the week, they could hear me better than they could at the beginning of the week. And it's like, what is your relationship like with the Holy Spirit? So as we close, as we think, you know, the two verses that we ended with are kind of negative. They're kind of negative. Don't grieve, right? And do not quench. But the overall idea is so positive. Jesus said, I'm sending you this helper. Here's the reason. Because I'm sending my Spirit to be with you for you to live this amazing life. This life where you know God. Like in the Gospel of John says, those are my people who just know me. Or my sheep know my voice. Like you're going to be out on the lake sometime this week or next week. And you're just going to be you're going to be someone in a boat. And someone's going to be on the shore. They're going to see you go by. And think about it. If we could see like a sign over everyone's heads, be like, there's a person that knows God. Right? Like how common would that be? Not very much. It'd be so awesome. You could be knowing God at work, right? Is that crazy? Okay, you know, some of you guys, I've heard about your workplaces. You could be knowing God at work this week, right? And that's what it's like, and that's what he wants for us. And so if you had to build your house upon the rock, you had a few ideas, there's a creator and love and fear and all those things. What am I going to do every single day, every single moment? If I were to build my house upon the rock and not upon the sand, if I were to build my life upon a truth, man, it's the Holy Spirit every single day. That is the life. That is the way of the Lord. You will live a blessed life. You'll have the best testimonies. You'll know God. When you get to heaven, you'll know Jesus. You'll know him. And that's what he wants for all of us. Okay. Challenge you this week to know the Spirit every day. Would you stand with me? And we will pray. Lord Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence here today, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the encouragement and the help and the guidance that you are giving every day, Lord. And I pray a blessing over every family, over every person here and in Kids Zone right now, Lord God. I just pray that you would go home with us. Help us to hear that voice, Lord. If we've been squelching your voice and we don't hear you very much anymore, Lord, would you turn up the fire on your end a little bit, Lord, this week? Would you help us to hear you again? I don't want you to be quenched in my life, Lord. Would you grow the fire for every person here this week? And Lord God, bring us back next week with just that stronger, deeper, hotter fire inside of our bellies where we know God. And give us a testimony this week, Lord. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we look forward to a week with you. In Jesus' name, amen.